Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Zechariah chapter 7, which I will entitle A Call for Justice and Mercy. Zechariah is, of course, a post-exilic prophet. He received his call to prophesy in 520, and he had eight visions in early 519, eight night visions, and we are finished with those eight visions, and now we're starting a little while later, a year or two later, maybe 2 years later after these night visions. We start in Zechariah 7, verse 1. In the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Kislev. Now, the fourth year of King Darius is 518. Darius ruled from 522 to 486. 522 minus 4 is 518. This is 2 years after Zechariah received his prophetic call, which was in 520 B.C. That was the same year that the rebuilding of the temple had commenced, after having been halted for over a decade. 518 was also 2 years before the temple would be finished, which was 516 B.C. So this was right in the middle of the rebuilding efforts. The month Kislev is our November-December. It's the third month of the Jewish civil year, but it's the ninth month of the ecclesiastical year of the Jewish calendar. We move now to Zechariah 7, verses 2 through 3. Now the people of Bethel had sent Sherezer, Remgimelech, and their men to plead for the Lord's favor by asking the priests who were at the house of the Lord of hosts, as well as the prophets, "Should we mourn and fast in the fifth month as we have done these many years?" Notice their prophets down there with the priest. The people of Bethel lived about 10 miles due north of Jerusalem. These men, Sherezer and Remgimelech, are people of whom we have no other knowledge, but their names indicate high rank. Sherezer is an Assyrian name, meaning prefect of the treasury, and Remgimelech means the king's official. It doesn't matter who they are just some big shots from Bethel. They go down to Jerusalem, and they ask, "Should we mourn and fast in the fifth month, as we have done these many years?" Now, the fifth month is the month of Ab, or Av in the modern Hebrew, Ab in the biblical Hebrew. Now, the ninth day of the fifth month is Tisha B'Av, which is a very important Jewish holiday even to this day. It was back then in the days of Sherezer and Remgimelech, and it still is. Let me read you a description of this festival on the ninth day of the month of Av, the fifth month. It was the saddest day in the Jewish calendar, a day destined for tragedy. Other calamities besides the two burnings of Jerusalem are included, but the main calamities are, of course, the burning of Jerusalem by the Babylonians in 586 and the burnings of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70. There were five prohibitions that the Jews had to recognize if they celebrate this feast on the ninth day of Av. There's a 25-hour water and food fast. The pre-fast meal, the last meal before the fast, included an egg dipped in ashes and bread dipped in ashes. That's the first prohibition, food and water. The second prohibition, no washing or bathing on that day. The third prohibition, no application of creams or oils. The fourth prohibition of that day, no wearing of leather shoes. The fifth prohibition on Tisha B'Av, no marital sexual relations. If scripture is studied, only the study of Lamentations and Job is allowed, for obvious reasons. Portions of Jeremiah are allowed, and also portions of the Talmud that discuss mourning or the destruction of the temple. Old prayer books and Torah scrolls are buried. People refrain from greetings and giving gifts. That is one monumentally sad day. And notice these officials said they'd been fasting on the fifth month. They don't mention the ninth day, by the way. That's later. But they'd been fasting this way for the destruction of the first temple, which occurred in 586. We're now down to 518. So these many years, they've been doing it all during the Babylonian captivity, I'm sure. By the way, I think it was in my study of Jeremiah I discovered that the burning of Jerusalem was actually on the 8th of Ab. And I don't know whether the rabbis moved it to the 9th just to make it match AD 70. I don't know. That's on my do list to investigate. I don't have time right now. The two officials ask, "Should we fast? Should we mourn on the fifth month?" Since the temple was being rebuilt, they were probably wondering whether they needed to fast for the destroyed temple anymore, because the temple very soon is not going to be destroyed. We go down to Zechariah 7, verses 4 through 6. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, Zechariah, saying, Say to all the people of the land and to the priest, When you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months these 70 years, that's the round number for the captivity, was it actually for me that you fasted? When you eat and drink, do you not eat for yourselves and do you not drink for yourselves? Now, we've already mentioned the fasting in the fifth month, Tisha Ab, but there was also another fast set up. These are not scriptural fasts, by the way. They're not in the law. These were started by the people. The fast in the seventh month was a fast to commemorate the murder of Gedaliah. Gedaliah was the Jewish governor of the remnant of Jerusalem that was left behind after the disaster in 586. It was very typical. The Babylonians would choose somebody from the conquered people and say, You run this land, keep order, and send us taxes. So the Babylonians had appointed Gedaliah, and all Gedaliah had to do was to satisfy the Babylonians, and everything would have been hunky-dory. However, there was a Jew named Ishmael who decided he wanted to murder Gedaliah, and with some help with an Ammonite, he did so. This was 3 months after the burning of Jerusalem, on either the 8th or 9th of Ab, which is July or August, 586 B.C., So after Ishmael killed Gedaliah, the Jews had to flee to Egypt to avoid the feared wrath coming from Babylon, because naturally Babylon is going to be upset to have their governor murdered. And of course, when the Jews fled, that was it for any administration of Israel by the Jews. Let me read from a Jewish website, Chabad.org, and please forgive me if I pronounce that wrong. This fast in the seventh month is on the 3rd of Tishri. The seventh month is Tishri, which is September or October, between September and October on the Gregorian calendar, our calendar. And this fast commemorated the assassination of Gedaliah ben Achikam, governor of the first Jewish commonwealth in the Holy Land. Interesting. The Jews named what was left after 586, after the Babylonians came, they called it the first Jewish commonwealth. After this assassination, says this website, this Jewish website, Jewish autonomy came to an end. Now, Zechariah is told by Yahweh to tell the people, to ask the people, look, when you were fasting and mourning in the fifth month, Ab, and the seventh month, Tishri, for these 70 years during the captivity, was it for me that you fasted? Was it for Yahweh that you fasted? Rhetorical question. The answer is no. They were fasting for their own sakes. They were merely going through religious forms when they fasted. They may have been doing fast on days appointed by the people without the authority of prophets, or maybe without the authority of the civil leaders either. But I think the main thing that Zechariah is getting at, that Yahweh is getting at here, is that you were fasting for your selfish reasons. You were going through the motions. You had a form of godliness, but you denied the reality thereof. Next question Zechariah is to ask the people in verse 6, When you eat and drink, do you not eat for yourselves? In other words, you're not praising God and rejoicing that God has given you all good things to eat. You're eating for your selfish reasons. And do you not drink for yourselves? Same thing. You're fasting for yourselves, not for God. So whether they were eating or whether they were fasting, they were doing it for themselves. Verse 5 says, Were you fasting for me or for yourself? And verse 6 says, Were you eating and drinking for me or for yourself? Either way, their attitude was not Godward. We go to Zechariah 7, verse 7. Yahweh continues to instruct Zechariah on what he is to say. Are not these the words which the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous along with its cities around it, and the Negev and the foothills were inhabited? Well, what words did the Lord proclaim by the former prophets? Well, the words of those two rhetorical questions that indicated that God did not like dry formalism. He didn't like selfish eating and drinking. And God had already told them that by the former prophets, meaning the prophets that came before the exile, before 586. This is not referring to the former prophets as described with reference to the Hebrew canon, namely Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings, as listed by the Encyclopedia Britannica. It's talking about people like Isaiah and Jeremiah, those pre-exilic prophets who warned of the coming exile, and others too, says Benson, other prophets. These prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, had appealed for the people not to merely trust in sacrifices and offerings and external formalism. Let me read you a famous passage from Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 3 through 7. in which Isaiah gave his famous strictures against dead ritualism. Why have we fasted, but you have not seen? The we is referring to the Israelites, but you, Yahweh, have not seen. We have denied ourselves, but you haven't noticed. Look, you do as you please on the day of your fast. This is God responding. You Israelites do as you please on the day of your fast. You oppress all your workers. You fast with contention and strife to strike viciously with your fist. You cannot fast as you do today, hoping to make your voice heard on high. Will the fast I choose be like this? A day for a person to deny himself, to bow his head like a reed, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? In other words, just because you look real holy and pious by bowing down and spreading yourself out on the ground, God's not going to be happy with that. Verse 6, Isaiah 58. Isn't the fast I choose to break the chains of wickedness, to untie the ropes of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and to tear off every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the poor and homeless into your house, to clothe the naked when you see him, and not to ignore your own flesh and blood? In other words, do right. Don't just fast. And of course, there's no prohibition on fasting. Nothing wrong with fasting. But if you fast, do it with a good heart. Don't do it merely externally. Now Zechariah had early appealed to pre-exilic prophets in the same vein. He had said in chapter 1, verse 4, "Do not be like your ancestors," the earlier prophets proclaimed to them. "This is what the Lord of hosts says, turn from your evil ways and your evil deeds." But they did not listen or pay attention to me. This is the Lord's declaration. Now Zechariah refers to, as he speaks these words that he's supposed to speak to the people, dictated by Yahweh, he refers to the time when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous. In other words, before the Babylonians not only burnt Jerusalem down, but before the Babylonians came and captured a bunch of cities around Jerusalem, which they did, and the Negev and the foothills were inhabited, which implies that the Babylonians had pretty much wiped out the southern portion of Israel. The Negev is the southern desert area below Israel, south of Jerusalem. The foothills could be the shuffle of the coastal plain headed to the southwest of Jerusalem, headed toward the Mediterranean coast. Israel was happy, and then they were not happy after the Babylonians came. We go now to Zechariah 7, verses 8 through 14, and we will finish this chapter. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus has the Lord of hosts said, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother. And do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another." Simple enough. Do right. Verse 11, "But they," the Israelites, "refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder." Turned a stubborn shoulder is a metaphor derived from a farming existence. If a farmer tries to put a yoke on a bull that's not broken, that bull will pull his shoulder away from the yoke because he doesn't want it. He has a stubborn shoulder. And Israel does not want the yoke of Yahweh, even though that yoke would make their burden light, because that's what yokes do for oxen. They make it easier for the oxen to plow the field by spreading the physical forces out in such a way that the plow is pulled easier. So the people turned a stubborn shoulder in verse 11, and they stopped their ears from hearing. They wouldn't listen to Yahweh. Verse 12, they made their hearts like flint. Flint, of course, is what you sharpen knives with, and it's a very, very hard rock. Their hearts were like that so that they could not hear the law. If you make your heart hard, you're not going to hear. You might physically hear it, but you don't really hear it. And the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Again, like Isaiah, the chosen fast. Therefore great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. And of course that wrath was, I'm sure, the Babylonian invasion of 586. It could refer to the Assyrian invasion. Zechariah is not precise on his time, but since he's talking to the exiles, I suspect he's talking about the Babylonian invasion. Verse 13, and just as Yahweh called and they, the Israelites, would not listen, so they called and I would not listen. He called, they wouldn't listen, they called, and I'm not going to listen, says the Lord of hosts. Not because God is hard-hearted, it's because the people were sinning. If you want God to hear your prayers, you doggone well better quit sinning, the best of your ability. At whatever current level of sanctification you are located, you better not sin with a high hand and expect God to answer you. Verse 14, but I scattered them with a storm wind among all the nations. That's 586, I'm sure, when they were scattered. Could be 722 with the Assyrians, but probably 586 with the Babylonians. The Babylonians scatter the Jews all over the ancient Near East with a storm wind among all the nations whom they have not known. That's all the nations of the Babylonian Empire. The Israelites have not known them because they never were there before, but now they are. Thus the land is desolated behind them. That happened in 586, so that no one went back and forth, for they made the pleasant land desolate. Going back and forth, going to work, going to the fields, and coming back home. No point, because the fields are desolate. And on that sad note, we have finished Zechariah 7 and are prepared to go to Zechariah 8, which I will entitle The Coming Peace and Prosperity of Zion. I hope you stay tuned for that chapter, and I hope you enjoyed this audio.